Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachem Kuf Gimel. We begin right on top of the Mishnah. What happens to the skin, the oyer, the hide on the Karbanis animals? Who does it go to? The answer is the Pasuk gives it to the Kohen. Pasuk says, V'akoyin ha-makriv, es oilas ish, right, the Kohen is involved in the hakrava of a man's oila, a carbon oila, oir, the skin, ayin v'vresh, right, the hide, havadi oila, oir oila, asher hikriv, la-koyin lo ye, will be given to the Kohen. However, says the Mishnah, there's one condition. The carbon has to be a successful carbon, a carbon which is kosher. But otherwise, if the carbon is slated for burning because it became pus, then the skin goes along and gets burned as well. It will not be delivered to the Kohanim. Says the Mishnah, Kol shelo yizocha ha-mizbeach b'vsara. If the Mizbeach did not earn the basar, meaning the flesh of this, let's say, carbon oil, will not go to the Mizbeach. Rashi says, for instance, a pesul occurred before they did the zrika. There was no moment in time when the carbon was slated for the Mizbeach. It got aborted midway. Likewise, the skin will not go to the Kohen, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, only an Oilas Ish, a man's oil, which means to say he was credited for the carbon. It was a successful carbon. Then we say skin to Kohanim, Oila Sha'osal Ish, but otherwise not. Suppose it was an oila, shenishchta, shelo lishma. The shchita was done without, you know, proper intention. He had a different carbon in mind. As we learned way back in the Beis Amud Aleph, the carbon is technically kosher. However, the owner has to bring another one. So how would you deem the status of the skin here? Is it considered skin of a carbon which is successful, carbon which is kosher? Yes, the answer is yes. Oila shenishchata shelo lishma, afapi, although shelo yosel labalim, the owner doesn't get credit for the carbon. He has to bring another one. But technically speaking, the carbon is kosher. And therefore, oira, the skin of this animal, goes l'kayanim. The mission concludes, although the Pasuk makes reference to an oilas ish, oila offered by a man, what about oila of a woman? Echad oilas ish, echad oilas isha, whether it's a man or a woman, oira yisayin l'kayanim, the skins go to the kayanim. What about oira yisav kachim kalim? Let's say you bring a shlamim, which is typically consumed by the owner, not by the kohen. Who gets the skin? Lebalim, the owner gets it. Oiro is kachim, however, where the flesh is meant for the kohanim, you know, like a chatas, asham. Likewise, the skin goes la kohan. Although the pasuk only speaks about an oila, we extend it to the other karbanos as well, through a kal v'chomer. Uma im oila shelo zocha b'vsara. Even an oila where the flesh is not granted to the Kohanim, rather only to the Mizbeach. Still, despite not having access to the Basar, Zochu B'Oira, they earn the skin. Ka'ache Kadoshim, certainly by Echatas, Oshim, etc. Sure, Zochu B'Sarim, where the Kohanim get the flesh itself, of course, the skin comes along. And it didn't, certainly, She'is K'Boirim, they're entitled to the skin. Now, although you can sort of refute this analogy by looking at the Mizbeach, which only gets basar by the oila and never skin, so perhaps only the basar of the chatos goes to the kayanim and not the skin. No, a mizbech yichiach, you can't undo this analogy by looking at the mizbech and using that as a counterfactor, because mizbech never gets hide. So it's not really part of our equation and doesn't really indicate anything regarding this chus of kayanim, who always get the hide. Shein lo oir b'chum mokim, meaning since we know that they get the oir ha'oila, so by extension, we expand it to other karbanos as well. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the pasuk refers to oilas ish, coming to exclude something. Prat oilas hekdesh. This directing of the hide to the kohanim does not apply by oilas hekdesh, which we'll explain in a minute. We're going to have three explanations. So, oilas hekdesh is excluded from this halacha. Which halacha? The halacha that the skin goes to the kohen doesn't apply. Divir Rabbi. That's a shit. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Prat Oilas Gerim, Oilas Ish, tells us only an oila which is owned by a ish, but not by a ger. And soon the Gemara will explain what this means. First, let's go back. What do you mean when you said prat oilas hegdish? We exclude oilas hegdish. Omar Rab Chia bar Av Yosef prat, as opposed to la oila habom and maestris. You have leftover. Leftovers, Rashi says. Suppose a fellow was bringing an asham, and in full conscientiousness, he brought a backup asham just in case something goes wrong. It turns out he didn't need it. It's unneeded, it's leftovers. Halach is, you send it out for pasture, let it get a blemish, sell it, and take those funds and finance basically it's an oila that's put on the mizbeach to keep it, you know, active, to fill in for inactive moments. And that's not really your private carbon. Rashi calls it an oilas in a davas tzibur. It's like a public donation. It's like a communal carbon. In this case, the owner is not really involved. In this case, the aloha of the skin to the kehanim doesn't apply. Rather, the skin goes to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, into the building fund. So that case is excluded. Prat lo'ilu habo amin ha-moisrus. Ask the Gemara. Well, that's good if you say, hanicha l'madam, that works. If you say, moisrus and davas tzibur asli, at the leftovers, I direct it into the communal coffer. Elo l'madam amar moisrus and davas yachad asli. But according to the opinion, that moisrus is considered a private donation, so it's no different than any other oila, Michael and Mamer, so why would this be different? Answer, Kedama Rava. Just as Rava tells us regarding something else, the word ha'oila, the extra hey, indicates the special one, the unique one, oila Rishon, the first oila, hachinami here as well, when it says oil ha'oila, it's specific to a specific oila. Ha'oila means oila Rishon, the standard, conventional oila. Rashi says, Rishani here means it's an original oila, as opposed to a sort of a copy, purchased from monies, leftovers, from substitute. No. In that case, the aloch of the oir to the kohanim does not apply. That's one shot. Oila that comes from Meisores will not have this aloch. Rabbi Aivu Amrav Yanai has another pshat in Prat Lo'ilas Hektish. He said it means like this. Prat, as opposed to Lamatvis Oila Lebedek Abayis, a fellow had already designated an Oila for the Mizbeach, and then he sort of shifts, decides to donate it to the Bedek Abayis, the, Beis HaMikdash building fund. So in this case, although it's going to proceed as an Oila on the Mizbeach, but the hide will not go to the Kohanim, rather, it will be directed into the communal coffers of the Beis HaMikdash. And explains the Gemara. And certainly, it goes without saying, according to the opinion that holds, that kachah bedekabayis is tafsim da'irais, that menat Torah. This carbon oil, which was meant for the Mizbeach, has now also acquired another layer of Kedusha. When he donated it to the bedekabayis, it gets another layer of Kedusha, to the extent that you can't offer it on the Mizbeach until you first redeem it, and take that money and send it to Bedek HaBayis, and then you can proceed with the Oila de Mizbeach. So, okay, we understand that, you know, if he did the Shechita before it was redeemed, the skin cannot go to the Kohanim, rather goes to the Bedek HaBayis, because it's not really his, it belongs to the Hegdish now. But, Elo l'afidl man d'omar lo tafsi, even according to the opinion that holds that really, you haven't really said anything. You can't add another layer of... You can't redirect this oilot to Bedek HaBayis. It's already committed to the Mizbeach. At most, it's only Midrabbanan. We don't want to, disregard what he says. And you have to redeem it, so to speak, and send some money to the Bedek HaBayis. Hani milibos. That pertains to the actual flesh. Aval oir, tafis. So the flesh itself is committed to the Mizbeach. I mean, HaTorah, you can't really redirect it. But the skin, which initially was never meant for the Mizbeach per se, it was meant for the Kayanim. So since he now donated the entire animal to the Bedek HaBayis, at least on the skin, it gets implemented to the extent that that skin goes to Bedek HaBayis. And that's what we meant. Skin is to Kayanim, except if it's Oilas Hegdish, an Oila which was now redirected to Bedek HaBayis. V'chein, Omar Rav Nachman, likewise says Rav Nachman, Omar, in the name of Rabbah, Baravua prata oila ba mina moistrois. This pertains back to the original pshat that the leftovers, right, will not have the halacha of the skin to the kohanim. Amalei Rav Amnuna, he asked Rav Nachman, Kiman Rav Yehuda. So are you in line with Rav Yehuda that the oir of the moistrois will not go to the kohanim? Hahadabe, we know that he changed his mind. The sanya, as we find in the following verse, Shishalun Adava. There were many like pushkas, coffers in the Beis Hamikdash, six of which served the dava. Lo'ila bo mina moistrois. As we explained, we have an extra oila, you sell it, that money goes into the pushka and is used as a sort of a donation, a donated oila to the Mizbeach. Shaloi yuhu kahanim zakoin ba'ira. In contrast to a standard oila where the kahanim get the hide, not in this case. Leave it Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So initially, Rabbi Yehuda subscribed to this opinion that oila mina moistrois doesn't have this halacha. Omar lo Rabbi Nechemya, he was challenged by Rabbi Nechemya. Ba'amila, some say it was Rabbi Shimon who challenged him. Mkain, according to you, v'italta midrasha shol yoyoda koin. You have now negated the analysis of yoyoda koin, who, based on his understanding of the pasuk, we see that the skin of even these oilois who go to the kohanim, the sanya, ze midrash, darash, yoyoda koin. The following was related by Yehuda HaKohen. Let's take a look at the pasuk. Asham, Asham, Asham Lashem, which sounds like the Asham goes to the to Hashem on the Mizbeach. But as Rashi points out, you can't say that it's completely for the Mizbeach, because we know from the other pasuk that the Kohanim eat an Asham. So what happens to an Asham? To the Kohen or to the Mizbeach? So he explained, this pasuk is referring to leftovers. Leftover ashams. Like we explained before, you have an extra carbon as a backup, and now it's unneeded. Kol shaba mishum chatas, mishum asham. Anything that's derived, that's produced from chatas for asham, and now unneeded. You take it, switch it for money, and purchase. You lokach by oilois, you buy a carbon oil with it. Habas al Hashem, v'ar lokehanim, whose flesh goes on the mizbeach to Hashem and the skin to the kehanim. So you've accommodated both. Hashem and the Kohanim, so to speak, right? Clearly, the skin of even these leftovers go to Kohanim. In contrast to what you were saying before, Rav Nachman. So although you were sourcing it, Rav Yehuda, but he changed his mind. And he conceded. Omar Leis, Rav Nachman responds, okay, so now we're stuck. El mar b'may mukim los. How do you explain that Braisa, which told us that Oilas Hegdish is not covered by this halacha of the hide to the Kohanim? How do you explain it? So here comes yet a third pshat. We had the pshat of the moistrois, we had the pshat of the matfis oila, the betel kabayis. Here comes a third. Omar lei mukminula b'maglish nechasa. My understanding is that it's going on a case where a fellow donated his entire estate with some animals, with everything. Now, the dilemma is like this. We're talking that he donated it to the kabayis, right? His tractors, his cars, his animals. Now the animals are suitable for mizbeach. Tractors aren't. So what do we do? Like Rabbi Shua says, it's not hamagdish nachasir. He donated it all. Rashi says lebel kabayis. Voi ben behemis ruyis lagav mizbeach. But in this mix, you have some animals which are suitable for the Mizbeach. So what do we do? Zacharim Nekevus. We have Zacharim that could be Oilois. We have Nekevus that could be Shlomim. Rav Elazar Omer, he says like this. The actual animal, you want to make sure it ends up on the Mizbeach. Okay, because once it's Kaddish, you want it to go to the Mizbeach. Zucharim, you have to sell it. Yemachru letzarech oilis, to those who need a carbon oila, give it to them in exchange for payment. Likewise, at Nekevois, which are suitable for Shlomims, likewise. Yemachru letzarech, zivchei Shlomim, sell it to those who need Shlomims in exchange for payment. Udmein, and their money, ziplu, mishar nechasim, medekabais, together with all the other monies, the money you got for the tractor and the cars, everything over to the Beit HaKabayis. Because according to Rebbe Lezer, we don't split his donation. We assume since the tractor was meant for Dedek HaBayis, right? Likewise the animals. But you don't want to just send them out to the market, right? Once they got Kedusha, you want to... Halacha is you have to try to get it to the Mizbeach. That's what you do. In a roundabout way, you sell it and the money goes together with everything else to Dedek HaBayis. Rabbi Shoimer says no. If the Zohar is a unblemished animal suitable for an oila, that's what he do with it. That's what he meant. He meant that those that can be used as an actual carbon, go for it. And the rest that can't is sent to the Bet HaKabayis. We show him as charm atzmam yikru v'oilois. Take these charm themselves as oilois. Unakeveis, what about the nekeveis? Yimachru l'tzorcha shlamim. You see, here it's different because you want to completely on the mizbeach, and the shlamim is not completely on the mizbeach, right? Only the blood, right? So in this case, you have to sort of get it to mizbeach in a roundabout way. You sell it to those who need a shlamim. You take the payment and buy with it an oila, v'yavi b'dvein oilis, and then you have a full gift to the mizbeach, completely incinerated on the mizbeach in fulfillment of this fellow's wishes. And regarding the tractor and everything else, v'shana chasam yiplu b'dek b'ayis goes to the b'dek b'ayis. Now, the Gemara concludes, V'afilu l'Rabbi Yeshua d'amar Adam Choylek Hekdeshi. So the question is, what about the skin, the hide of the carbon oila? The point will be that in this case, it doesn't go to the Kohanim, as it typically does. It goes to Bedek HaBayis. Why? Even according to Rabbi Yeshua, who seems to say that we don't mind splitting up this fellow's donation. Some to the Mizbeach, some to Bedek HaBayis. That applies to the basar itself, which you can put on the mizbeach. That's what he had in mind. Aval oir, toughest, but when it comes to the skin around that flesh, certainly he doesn't want that to go to the kehanim. He would like it to go to the bedek habayis. Right. So although the animal is now an oila on the mizbeach, which is not your typical oila. It's as per our understanding of his intention. And he certainly wants to maximize his donation. He doesn't want to give the skin away to the Kehanim. He wants that to go to the Bedek HaBayis. And that's what the Braisa meant. Prat Oilas Hekdesh. In this case, the skin goes to the Bedek HaBayis, not to the Kehanim. Okay, so we have a total of three pshatim. The Pasuk says, typically, skin of an oila or other kachim kalim go to the Kehanim. Oilas Ish tells us Prat Oilas Hekdesh, but not by Hekdesh. We have three pshatim. Either moisturize, or when he would matvis an oil to Bedek HaBayis, or a fellow who donated his estate. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael Bido Aymer, he says Oilas Ish is coming to exclude something else, Prat Oilas Gerim, as opposed to an oil offered by a ger. What do you mean? A ger is not a person. Atu ger lav ishu. Why is he excluded? A malay? No, that's not what it means. It means an ownerless oila, an oila which no longer has an owner. Prat le ger, as opposed to an oila which was owned by a ger, who now passed away without heirs, without any relatives. Shemesh vein lo yoshem. Nobody owns it. So in this case, it all goes to the Beis HaMikdash and not to the Kohen. Tana Rabbanan. Once again, oilas ish tells you, einilas oilas ish, perhaps only one offered by a man. And Rashi takes out the next two words, oilas gerim. What about oilas noshim? He takes out the word gerim. Oilas noshim, avadu menai. What about an oila offered by a woman, a ger? An evan, I mean. Menai. What about those cases, Tamar Loimar? We learn that their skin as well, the skin of their oila as well, goes to the kohanim. Oir ha oila riba. The extra loshim, oir ha oila, covers all these cases. Im kain, if that's the case, that you're including everything. Ma tamar loimar oilas ish. Why specify ish? Which seems to be a limiting term. Answer is, provided that it's a successful karm, as we learned back in the Mishnah, oilo she'also l'ish, as opposed to a failed karm, prat, for instance, l'sha nishchat achot l'zmana, v'sim kaima, he made it pigol, he made it pasul, and those, she'lo yu akanam zakim, kaim bo'era, the kayanam nanotail to the skin, because it's an unsuccessful karm. Okay, what about shle'i l'shma, which is sort of semi-successful? The carbon is kosher, but the owner has to redo it. What about covering that case and excluding him as well? some actually switch the word marba to memayit. Perhaps we should leave out the shelo lishma as well. Look, if since the owner doesn't really get credit for it, perhaps it's considered a failed enterprise. So there as well, you kayhanim zakayim, but don't give the skin to the counter. Oyra mikal malkim, oyra covers this as well. Now oyra sounds like it only applies to an oyla. Ainly ela oyra oyla. What about oyrois of kachik kachim? Minayin, how do we know that there too it goes to the counter? Oleimar, oyla asher hikriv. Hikriv is an extra expression to cover the kachik kachim as well. Yochel, perhaps shani marba, I cover even af kachim kalim. Skin of a shlamim, we'll go to the kayin. Tamalaymar, no, we'll go back to the word oyla. Ma oyla kachik kachim, af kol kachik kachim. Just like an oyla is a kachik kachim. You want to give the skin to the kohen, only kachik kachim, not kachim kol. Okay, so according to Tanakama, how do we know to extend the halacha to other kachik kachim? From the pasuk asher hikriv. Rabbi Shmuel Leiber, no, we don't need a pasuk, we have a kal vachomer. Oyra oyla would sound like only the oyla, right? Any yellow oyla. What about oyra is the skins of kachik kachim? How do we know they too go to the kohen? We do know, it's based on a kal vachomer. Oma oyla shalei zochu with sarah. Even by the oyla with the kohanim, they're not entitled to the basar. Still, they get the skins. Zochah b'oyra certainly kachik kachim by kachatos. She zochah b'psara, they're entitled to the flesh itself. Of course, the skin which comes along. Ein adin, wouldn't you agree? She is k'b'oyra. Well, not so simple. You're saying skin always comes along with flesh. Look at the mizbeach. He always gets flesh, but not skin. Mizbeach yichir. The mizbeach will undo your argument. It gets the boss of the oil, not the skin. Well, that's not really going to say anything much, because Mala Mizbeach Shekin Lezacha B'Mikzas. Mizbeach is not a player in this equation, because he never gets, even part of the time, even in some case, he never gets skin, period. As opposed to Kayhanim. Tell me about Kayhanim Shezacha B'Mikzas, that we know at least sometimes they get skin by the oil. And therefore, Hoyel B'Zacha B'Mikzas Zachu B'Kula. If they get skin sometimes, we'll assume it applies to all the kachik kadash. Okay, so going to Rishmol, it's a kavachai. Rabbi has a different perspective. He says, look, we don't really need to prove anything regarding the skin of kachik kachim. It's very clear to me. Whoever gets the flesh gets the skin. It's one package. Just the opposite. The reason why the Torah had to mention the oila. Because otherwise I wouldn't even know that they get the skin by the oyla. Because I would think, look, the skin is sort of inseparable from the flesh. And by the oyla, guess who gets the flesh? The mizbeach. And that's why the Torah has to point out, oh, they do get the skin of the oyla. Rabbi Eimer Kol Atzmei, the whole entire purpose of this pasuk, lo yitzrachnu ela lo oyra oyla, was simply to notify us, to teach us, that they get the skin of the oyla. Bluvat, only for that purpose. Because typically, standard procedure is ha'oir ma'alach achar abasar. Skin follows the basar. For instance, parah manisraf, seder manisraf, those carbonates that are burned outside Yerushalayim. It's one package. Hein, v'yru yisein israf, and the flesh and the skin together get burnt, imoyen, with them. Likewise, chatas v'asham, v'zifach hasham v'tzibur, the chatas, the asham, the shlamim that the tzibur brings, our matana l'kohen, our gift to the kohen, and there's no reason to disenfranchise them, deprive them of their skin. Rotzu mafshit naisan. They can choose to remove the skin before they eat. Rotzu, they decide not to remove the skin. They can eat the flesh out of the skin. Meaning there's no requirement to skin those animals. So why would I think that we take the skin away? Likewise, kachim kalim, eshlamim. Same story. Labalim, it goes to the owner. They can remove the skin, they can eat them as is. So skin goes along with the flesh wherever. The only difference is by the oila. It says, remove the skin, chop up the oila, put on the mizbech, right? It's the only time it says, you remove the hide. So perhaps over here, the kohanim are not entitled to the skin. Yochel are you, kohanim, akanim, zakan, ba'ira. Right? It says remove the skin, doesn't say what to do with it. Perhaps it goes on the mizbeach, perhaps, right? Talmud Leimar. Comes the pasuk and says, "No, oiro oila shehikriv lo yiyah. Oiro oila shehikriv. It's your oila, you keep the skin." Okay, so bottom line is, we have three reasons why the Kehanim get the skin of the Kachim Kalim. Either it's the extra pasuk ashehikriv, or it's a kavachemer, or it's just plain logic. Now the words lo yiyah teach us that just as when it comes to laying a claim to a portion of the flesh, you have to be available for work, like we learned yesterday. You have to be there at the akrava. Same with the skin. You can't demand a portion of the skin if you're a latecomer, if you weren't around, if you weren't available during the day. Lo yiyah tells you only to him. Prat, as opposed to a fellow who was tamei l'tful yom, chosek kippurim, v'oinein, who are not available during the day. Likewise, they don't get the skin at night. Shiachla would think, perhaps they do. Lo yisku a basa, they can't get the basa. Shu l'achil, because it's meant for consumption, which they weren't, you know, enabled for during the day. But yisku ba'er, perhaps they can get the skin. Shein l'achil, it's not meant for eating. Tamu lo yimer lo yiyah comes to pasuk and says, no. You want a chelik of the ba'er? You have to be a kohen toher during the day, as opposed to prat l'machos ha'kapurim ba'er t'vol yom ba'in. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel learned that a kohen gets the skin of kachim kachim based on a kal v'chomer. Tanakama needed a pasuk. Why? Why did he need a pasuk? Tanakama nami typically medina. Why couldn't the Tanakama learn this concept from a kal v'chomer? Just as a rishma. The answer is you're right. Most of the asa of a kal v'chomer, sometimes even an item which can be generated through a kal v'chomer, tarach v'kasa l'kod, the pasuk will trouble itself to spell it out in clear fashion. Ask the Gemara in the reverse, Rabbi Shmuel, who had a kal v'chomer, what does he do with the extra pasuk? Hi, Asher Hikri, what does he do with the extra pasuk of a Tanakama? No, prat l'tvul yoyim, chosek kippurim v'oinein, to exclude these individuals from taking a part of the skin. Well, that's learned from l'yiyah. The answer is Rishmol tamei. Rishmol already used l'yiyah for something else. It's unavailable. The Omer of Yechem Rishmol, we learn from there something else. Namar ba'ila l'yiyah, we have the word l'yiyah by the oila. V'namar ba'asham l'yiyah by the word l'yiyah by asham. And we compare, we connect the oila to the asham. Malahan, just like with the asham, where the kohanim get the basar, and also the bones. Ma'alahal na'atzmoisim matar, the bones are mutar. They don't expire. You can take them, turn them into a utensil. There's no noisar, right, if it's inedible. So you can take it and use it for personal use. Afkan na'atzmoisim matar. Likewise, sometimes by an oilaf, let's say the bone got separated and it's totally on its own, you can just take it and use it. Mufni, but, you know, this connection, this gzera shava, must be based on words that are fully available for this purpose of connecting, because otherwise we know that the rule is when it's just a regular Gzeira Shava, you can refute the Gzeira Shava if you find, you know, distinctions and you know, factors which oppose the connection. Otherwise you can refute and challenge by saying, look, you're comparing the Oila to the Asham. Mala Asham Shekem Sarim Muta, of course the bones of the Asham are available because even the flesh is available for the Kohen, as opposed to the flesh of the Oila, which is for the Mizbech. Who says the Kohen can take the bones? Lo yiyah, kro yiseru. Exactly, the words Lo yiyah are extra and meant for this connection. Okay, perhaps, you know, the next Mishnah begins a brand new discussion, which sort of spills over into tomorrow. We'll leave the Mishnah for tomorrow's Daf Beis Hashem. Let's just do a quick recap. So in general, skin of an Oila or any other Kachim Kedoshim go to a Kohen. The pasuk speaks about an oila, but we extend it to other korbanos as well, based on the psukim, based on the kal v'chomer, right? Or based on plain logic. It applies to oilas ish or oilas isha. It does not apply to oilas hegdish, for which we have three pshatim. According to one shita, it does not apply to an ownerless korban. And this is all provided that the korban is a korban kosher, a successful korban. Even if it's leg l'shma, but if it's kasher, the halacha still applies. And who's entitled to a chelik of the skin? Only a kohen who is available, b'shas the yaktara, in similar fashion to yesterday's halacha regarding his claim on the basar. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rab.